It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by WCF Insurance.
Reminding you to be careful out there.
On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Good talk.
And ready break.
Good talk. DJ, if you want to come do this live on air, I mean, we can have a powwow.
Careful what you say. Careful what you say.
No. What did I just do?
You did this. This is you.
What did I just do?
You invited me in. And another thing.
Hurricane DJ.
So what I'd like to say... I've toned that down. You know I have.
Oh, I know you have, but it still lurks underneath the surface.
That makes it all the more impressive, does it not? Yeah. You talked to me one time, you had one set of needs, one simple rule, one desire, and have I come through for you so far?
Always.
Tomorrow could be another deal, though, Hans. You never know. I'm me.
Although I don't remember what was that.
DJ stepped in the room here, and he looked at Scotty and I like, hey, let's have a talk. And then the music hits, and he shuts the door and turns around.
That was the closest I'll ever come to being at the Academy Awards and getting played off the stage because my speech has gone too long.
Yeah.
Lloyd hit the button like, no, you don't, DJ.
You're out.
No, you don't.
Oh,
shut up and get out.
He says that to us all the time.
I didn't talk to you. Hans, I'm not done with this microphone yet. Hey, you got like food over there. You could eat and I could yak.
Hey, like
we could both do
bars?
Peanut butter bars? I'm not your guy.
You're not a peanut butter guy?
No, not my thing. Not really my thing.
Really?
Not really my thing. No, okay. I'm more chocolate than peanut butter. Now, if you put the chocolate on the peanut butter, Reese's peanut butter cups, all about them.
Well, that's pretty much what that is.
Oh, well, then hand it over.
It's no. Peanut butter and then chocolate.
You left out the chocolate part. Okay, so I was just going to ask you real quick. I didn't get your lowdown on Utah State Aggies spring game. Just give me like a 60-second synopsis, and then back to Dwayne Wade and the shorthanded Jazz.
Well, we are starting Utah spring ball. But with that said, offense has a ways to go. Not good. Defense really ruled the day. Offense got it clicking a little bit later on, but when it was ones versus ones, defense. And I think Utah State, like, they brought in a lot of transfers. Defense looked really good. Offense had its struggles, especially early on, and they got it going. The Bonner kid, the transfer from Arkansas State, I can safely say he's probably going to be the guy. He's dealing with a broken foot right now. Did not participate in spring. He'll come back in fall, and I would be shocked if he's not your starting quarterback at Utah State.
What's his name? Tell me a little bit more about
Logan Bonner. He's the Arkansas State quarterback that came over. And, you know, Peasley, hey, look, you called the only win where Peasley was anchoring things. And you cashed that check. I'm a preemptive.
I put the 1-1-6.
Yeah.
Hey, so do you have an idea on what Blake Anderson's trying to do offensively?
All RPO. Like.
So as fast
as. It's as fast as you can possibly be.
Fast as Yost?
Yeah. Even Robert and I's like, hey, maybe you want to dial it down a little bit. Like it is.
Is it going to run in from the sideline?
It is super fast, yeah. And then straight RPO, like over and over and over. You look at their Arkansas State stuff, all RPO.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
60 seconds of Aggie football right there.
Peanut butter chocolate bar to boot, which, by the way, is pretty good. Do you make these or your wife?
That's Amanda Olson.
Amanda, good work.
That's the lady.
I approve.
Thanks, DJ.
The lady.
Bye, DJ.
That's my lady.
You know, I was about to just sing that.
Did you really?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Or were you going to go Kenny Rogers? Lady.
Ooh.
I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you.
Well, that sounds like Aaron Neville singing Kenny Rogers.
Hey, I heard Jake Scott and Austin Horton bagging on Aaron Neville. And, nope, I can already see what you're doing.
No.
No, I'm not going to do it.
No, I'm not hating on Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville sings with the voice of an angel. It is a just a beautiful tone. I don't know how you feel about it, but he's his Ave Maria is world renowned and spectacular and holy.
He's not with us anymore, right?
You're gonna have to Google that one. I don't know. I don't know. You're gonna have to Google that one. I wish I did know. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I obviously I don't think he's been around singing for a while.
Holy smokes, he is with us. Guess how old Aaron Neville is.
Okay, let me take a shot at this. Do you mind if I take a poke?
Yeah.
82.
Wow, 80. You're spot on. Dang. Like just 2 years off. I had no idea he was that old.
Aaron Neville is spectacular. And anybody that thinks different, I don't know if they – it's just his the uniqueness in his voice.
It's a very unique voice, yes.
I think he did a rendition of Kenny Rogers' Lady.
I could see that. That'd be right up his alley.
Anyway,
he's not – that voice is it's distinct.
It's very unique.
Yeah.
Very discernible. So Scotty,
does he have a tattoo on his face?
I don't think so. No, no.
I think he does. Look at that.
If he does, that's new to me.
It's a cross on his face. Wow.
It might be henna. He might just be doing henna art.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that's it. How do you know what that is?
I've got three girls, and all they do is henna art. It's little droplets that they put on their hands that leave marks for about 3 weeks.
Well, anyway. Aaron Neville, yeah, solid.
He's got a tattoo of a cross on his cheek.
Yeah, he does. Huh. And that, oh, wait a minute, no, that's not a tattoo.
That's not. You're talking about the eyebrow?
Yeah.
My boy Aaron. Is he still doing his thing?
It sounds like he's still on the planet. I don't know how much singing he's doing these days.
Probably not a ton.
How's the health of your guy, Neil?
Neil?
Yeah.
He's doing all right. He's obviously well into retirement and has no plans of any comebacks. But from what I understand, his health is holding strong, and he's continuing to enlighten the world the best he can.
I saw the song where he did during COVID, where he did Sweet Caroline, but kind of changed the lyrics on a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
For social distancing, and that was the only time I'd seen him.
He did. He was trying to inform the world. Neil Diamond, many, many years of service to this world.
But I'm not hating on Aaron Neville at all. Right. I like Aaron. Good stuff. Good. All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now. You were up on the hill on Saturday. I was up at Utah State. Let's kick it off. Your starting lineup begins now.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So, Scotty, we're going to hear from Kyle Whittingham here in just a minute, but I just wanted to give some people some updates on things that I saw, some observations, and some interesting topics now coming out of this Utah spring game. I think that Utah got everything accomplished that they needed to get accomplished through spring and through the spring game. I also want to say this, and I know that this is an opinion. So take it for what it is. Don't hate me for my opinion. And just understand this is the world of football I come from, and so this is why it's important to me. Again, Kyle Whittingham gets it right with the way he handles the spring game. I know that, you know, roster sizes might be diminished and sizes might be small. I understand that you might only have 8, 10, sometimes 12 offensive linemen. Maybe you've got 5 or 8 healthy defensive linemen. But rosters were inflated through the spring. This was a perfect opportunity to get young guys reps and still roll in a Britton Covey.
Yeah.
You know, I know that Devin Lloyd didn't participate, but, you know, roll in a Britton Covey and give him an opportunity to test out his legs. And then really press towards Devon Vele, who is a redshirt freshman, 6'4 wide receiver out of San Diego, and was really good in the spring game. Like, there were a lot of opportunities to put your – to go get your transfers. You had your two transfer running backs in Curry and Pledger. You threw them out on the field. You put them in pads and let them get popped a little bit. You took your from freshman quarterbacks to senior transfer quarterbacks, and you put them out there. Let them sit under pressure and feel like things are on top of them. And I believe that if it is humanly possible, I believe this is the best way to handle a spring game, especially when Kyle talked about having 120 players on roster. So physicality, toughness, I know that they pressed, and I've talked to a couple of different people throughout spring. They pressed really hard through spring.
Yeah.
Really hard. Pads as often as they could, popping as often as they could. I know that Kyle Whittingham's teams notoriously feel like they wear down at the end of the season, but this team is going to be battle-tested and tough.
Do you feel like that's standard protocol for Utah, or did they compensate a little bit more considering the shortened season and the lack of games that they were able to have last season?
I think there was a bit of a compensation, but I think it really, Scotty, over the – let's see, this is now the 16th spring ball I've covered for Utah, or – yeah, 16th, I think. This is just Kyle Whittingham's style. It's his brand.
Yeah, and that's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, you know, maybe there were some slight tweaks along the way.
Not really, you know, in an effort to get different guys out on the field and try to rep out a lot of the players that he's got on the field. I'm sure that there was a different distribution in reps, but now this is Kyle Whittingham to a T, and it was a nice physical spring game, and Utah fans were treated to a great physical spring ball game once they got into the stadium, which I know that was all a difficult process. But Utah fans had to bear with the University of Utah. They were trying to follow protocol, and I hope everything went smooth in there. Seemed like it did.
Yeah.
Seemed like everything was on the up and up.
Sure seemed like it, too. It was good to see, you know, and I know everybody's seen it. It went around on Twitter like crazy, the mic'd up with Britton Covey, and it was a good atmosphere up there. It seemed like there was a good vibe with the team, and tell you what, look, I am not a guy that dismisses. Sometimes you'll see things in pop up in spring, and people are like, it's just a spring game, or maybe the defense wasn't going all out, or things like that. I think you can learn a lot about individual performances in spring football.
Yes.
I talk about it with Devontae Booker. I mean, there are certain guys that they pop up, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, I remember watching a Utah State spring game a few years ago, and they could not block this dude. And it ended up being Tipa Naliai, who ended up having, you know, 11, 12 sacks that season.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. And I think Charlie Brewer showed something on that spring game where you're like, hey, you know what? You can have some confidence in your quarterback position.
When you know what you're looking for, you can absolutely identify talent. If anybody's curious, a couple of talent that I identified, a couple of guys that I saw – Devon Vele is going to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's going to be a piece for this Utah offense. Xavier Carlton is going to be a piece. They're going to have to rotate him off the defensive end. He had – I think he was only – I don't have the box score exactly, but I know that he was registered with – I think he was registered with one sack at the end of this game, but he was probably in on two or three different pressures and – was great all through spring. Like, there are talent that continue to step up. And then there are guys that you look at that you're like, oh, okay, well, we'll shelve him for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I think Peter Castelli, we'll shelve him for a bit. He needs some time to marinate and get a little bit better. Jaquinda Jackson, shelve him for a little bit. You know, he's just a freshman. He's still got a lot of eligibility coming from Texas. And I know that there was a lot of hype and intention because of what type of prospect he was coming out of high school and then what type of attention he got coming from the Longhorns organization. But he's got a long way to go. You could use him in maybe some different forms and packages, and you'll hear from Kyle Whittingham here in just a second. But absolutely, Scotty, You can take so much from spring football when you know what you're looking for, 100%. Kyle Whittingham, he addressed the media after the spring game. I actually just had Lloyd pull a couple cuts, and I want to let people hear from Kyle Whittingham regarding a couple of the most important aspects of Utah's spring practices and their spring game. This is just Kyle Whittingham's opening statement.
Good culmination of spring ball. A lot of guys making plays out there. You know, we may have had an injury or two. I have to find out come tomorrow where we stand with that. But otherwise, it was a good spring overall. Made a lot of progress. Got a lot of things sorted out. Still have some things to sort out going forward. And that's what fall camp's for. I think we're in a good place right now, and we'll we got to get ready for the summer conditioning, which is the next phase, which starts June 1. That'll be a huge part of our success or lack thereof, depending on how we handle that. So that'll be important that we attack that summer conditioning program. Questions?
And as Scotty just mentioned, Brewer went 15 of 15. He did not have an incomplete pass through the spring game, went for about 155, 160 yards, threw a couple of touchdowns. Here is Kyle Whittingham talking about Charlie Brewer's entire spring game and through some of the spring practices.
Clean, just like he's been all spring. He's a quick decision maker. He's accurate. Gets the ball out of his hand quickly. Does a good job protecting the football. And so what you saw today was what we've been seeing all spring long. And it's going to be a great battle between him and Cam come fall camp for that number one spot. And Charlie has really done an outstanding job of integrating into our program, becoming a Ute, understanding how we do things. And he is a guy that we have a lot of hope for. And like I said, Cam, coming off last year, earning that job and then unfortunately getting hurt in the first game, that tells you what we think of Cam as well. And so that should be a great battle this fall.
And then obviously, Scotty, we were talking about those potential backup quarterbacks. I do believe that if Cam Rising isn't back and healthy come fall camp, then you could be extremely lean on quarterbacks. This is Kyle Whittingham talking about Jaquindon Jackson and Peter Castelli.
I thought both of them showed good signs. Peter came out and made some nice throws and showed some mobility in the pocket and essentially played that entire first half. And then Jaquindon played the entire second half for the Red Squad and did some good things as well. He threw some good balls as well as made some nice runs. They're still learning. It's a process. You've got to be a little bit more decisive at times in the pocket. Don't hold on to the ball so long. And that's part of the maturation process of a quarterback. But we feel like we've got a bunch of good freshman quarterbacks, and we'll see how they sort themselves out as time goes by.
So just your thoughts on the quarterback situation.
I think that is Kyle Whittingham, and you and I have heard, since 2005. So, we're getting 16 years of Kyle Whittingham interviews. That's as close as you're going to get to Kyle Whittingham naming a starter without naming a starter.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, absolutely agreed. That's Charlie Brewer's job. And Cam will come back, and I'm sure there'll be a bit of a competition.
Yep.
But I believe in those coaches' minds, Cam will just be getting ready to be the backup. I think you're 100% right there. A couple of transfer running backs, Pledger and Curry, were on the field for this spring game. Here's Kyle Whittingham talking about how they looked.
Those guys showed some good stuff today, and that's what they've been doing all spring long. Between those two and Mekhi Bernard, we think we got three backs at least that are really going to be, top-notch guys and very capable. And then we have Ricky Parks, who's coming this summer, and you saw Charlie Vinson do some good things, in the scrimmage. And so we think that position is going to be just fine and very productive for us.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree.
Okay.
I do.
I mean, that's not – he said just fine and – the running back that we all anticipated being in that backfield for Utah was special.
Yeah.
And super special.
Super special.
Just looking at the on-field production, that's going to be impossible to replace. But you can tell there's a certain level of confidence that they can come close.
In fact, and Lloyd, you'd probably agree with this. Scotty, you'd probably agree with this. Ty Jordan was so special that if he was returning, he would be the highlighted product coming back for the 2021 season.
Yep.
He would be the one guy that all of us be like, oh, let's see this guy.
Yep.
I still can't believe he's gone.
I know.
I do love the tributes. And for anybody that didn't see Utah's tributes, they're wearing an emblem on their sweaters. Kyle Whittingham had an emblem on the sweater that he wore at the spring game. And everybody's wearing this emblem that's a back-to-back or a back-to-back twos that are kind of in the shape of a heart. And it's got the Ty Jordan initials in it. And I think that the tribute's fantastic. All the money that was raised from that spring game, because this is the first time Utah fans had to pay for the spring game, all the money that was raised is going to the Ty Jordan Scholarship Program, which they're going to honor a player with the Ty Jordan Scholarship. It's just great stuff what they're doing. And then finally, Scotty, this is Kyle Whittingham talking about kind of the areas that they've focused on in spring ball, what he sees coming out of the spring game, and kind of just completing everything that's gone on over the last couple of weeks through spring ball.
Well, I think we're going to be a complete football team. That's we had some question marks at certain positions, and I think we've solidified just about every question mark we had. And we'll take a hard evaluation these next 2 or 3 weeks of what transpired in spring ball, and evaluate all the film, and determine if we need to, continue to look through the portal and decide what shortcomings we may have. But overall, we came out of spring and feeling like we're a pretty good team. And again, we'll do the final analysis in the upcoming weeks. And we got a lot of tape. We have over 800 reps of team reps in a team setting that is basically a season that we got done this spring. And so there's a lot of film to continue to evaluate. And a lot of guys had a lot of opportunity this spring to get better, which we feel they did.
It's Kyle Whittingham and putting a nice little tidy bow on spring ball. And so there's a certain level of things that go on. You know, you've got the regular season, you've got bowl season, you've got recruiting, you've got spring ball, and then you have 60 and 60, yeah. And then you have fall camp.
Yep.
And 60 and 60 is entrenched in all of it.
Yep. Right there in the middle of everything.
And it will return.
And you can't have one without the
other. No, I know, right? Yeah. That's
why. You can't have fall camp without 60 and 60.
I mean, let's be honest. This is why last season was kind of weird and never really felt right.
Yep.
Because we were unable to do 60 and 60.
60-60, putting that list together is going to be zero fun this year.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, because it's going to be zero fun.
Well, I mean, you've got guys, like, our thought has always been, we don't put true freshmen on the list because we don't know anything about true freshmen, and it's probably not fair for our voters to try to figure out how good a true freshman is. And then we kind of went that way with transfers, but now you're getting transfers like Charlie Brewer needs to be on the 60 and 60 list. There's guys up at Utah State that have come in that have good resumes that have come from Power 5 schools that have done some things at some Power 5 schools. So we've got to find a way to, to integrate, as this transfer portal continues to cook up, try to find a way to introduce these transfers that have not played a single lick or a single down for their respective teams, but probably need to be a part of the 60 and 60.
Yep. Good luck. Good luck to you and Lloyd.
It's the one thing that'll keep you away from the sushi summit. Huh?
Yeah, I don't want to put this list together. But how about Kyle Whittingham, his opening statement?
Yeah.
Just play that first comment from Kyle right out of the gates.
Good culmination of spring ball.
Just that first out of the last cut.
Well, I think we're going to be a complete football team. That's we had some question marks at certain positions, and I think we've solidified just about every question.
I think you're going to be a complete football team.
Yeah.
Kyle doesn't say that just to say that.
No.
If he had all kinds of concerns, he would say, look, we've got a lot of things that we've got to figure out come fall camp.
He's usually, especially this time of year, pretty honest and forthcoming about the strengths and weaknesses of his team.
Very much.
Yeah.
So good stuff coming out of spring ball for Utah.
Hey, the Davis Vision Spring LASIK Sale continuing on. Get rid of those contacts and glasses and save $1,000. Start your road to better vision at Davis Vision. Check them out at davisvisionmd.com or call them today, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. That is Davis Vision, and this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Dwayne Wade has joined the Utah Jazz ownership group.
That's a big story, man. I don't want to overstate it, but I think Dwayne Wade is so highly respected around the NBA. He could even influence certain players to maybe think about playing in Utah.
Talking about convincing other players to come play in Utah, Dwayne Wade is not only represented by, but also in business with a marketing company, the CAA agency. There are really two big agencies when it comes to dealing with NBA players, IMG and CAA. It's not the whole game, but if you're dialed in with certain agencies and agents and that sort of thing, that could be a big deal.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hey, we're about 30 minutes away from chatting with Tim Lacombe. We missed him last Monday. Excited to chat with him again coming up today. Get his thoughts on a lot of different things, from college basketball to the NBA to the Utah Jazz, combinations, trying to make things work as they come down the home stretch. Only 15 games left of the regular season, and the Jazz beat up a little bit. You and I took a little bit of a beating, too, on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I know.
We shouldn't have done it.
No, I don't ever concern myself with that.
I don't know, man. I felt bad. The day we're talking about how lucky the Jazz are with injuries, and that night, Donovan Mitchell.
We've
done that a couple times. They've been fortunate.
I've never concerned myself with that. And I think that comes back to one thing. As an athlete, if I'm out there, let's say I'm Donovan Mitchell, and I get injured. The last thing I'm thinking about or worried about is two dorks on air that were talking about me and my health.
What really makes me laugh, though, is how superstitious some people get.
I know. And I never buy into it. What I try to do is just bring the information, what's relevant. Yeah. You know, I was talking about the home court winning record and winning streak, and I was bringing it to people's attention because it was such a fascinating thing. And of course they lose at home and everybody's like, oh, look at what you did. And it's like, no, I had nothing to do with it. And anybody that thinks so, and it's fine. Like, I actually like people that have fun with it too. Yeah. I just mute them and then I don't have to see what they're talking about anymore.
It'll be funny. Like when I'm calling a game, and this happens all the time, in basketball, but some dude will step up to the free throw line and I'll be like, yeah, you know, Sam Merrill here has made his last 20 free throws.
Yeah.
And he's 6-for-6 tonight, and he clanks it. And then I'll have everybody within earshot just turn and stare at me. And I'm like, I didn't shoot it. Don't look at me.
Yeah, and, you know, watching the Jazz broadcasts over the years with Bowler Jack and whether it's Harp or Thurl, whoever's on with him, and Bowler will do the same. You know, he'll be on air and he'll be talking about guys' free throw percentage or, hey, this guy's 6-for-6 from the floor. It's hit well. And I mean, that's your job. You bring the information and let people do what they want with it. Scotty, I actually want to jump back a bit. I want to set this Lakers game aside. Not the one tonight. We'll talk about that, but the one they lost. I'm going to set that aside. I want to go back to Friday night. That win against the Pacers.
Big win.
Yeah, we got to talk about that win because, you know, right there in the third quarter, you lose Donovan Mitchell to that ankle sprain. Just a terrible, terrible turn of event. But the Pacers came out of the gates on fire. And at one point, was it like 15 or 16 or 17-point lead?
I mean, our studios are just right next to the upper bowl. And you had left, and I'd done some stuff with Lloyd. And then I just walked in and sat down and watched a good chunk of the first half. And I'm like, geez, Jazz are going to get worked here.
They were getting run.
Yeah.
The Pacers were up and down the court, transition, insane transition, and just moving well. And when Donovan got hurt, I thought it was going to take the air out of the building. I thought that it was going to get everybody on that roster, everybody that's on that bench, everybody that was on that floor for the Utah Jazz, I thought it was going to put them in the tank. And I'm worried about it. But it didn't. And they got a really good win over a Pacers team that I still believe is better than their record shows. I don't know if they're going to sneak in the East. They're back a couple of games right now, and you're starting to distance a little bit. And we're climbing, or we're approaching, what, 15 games, 16 games left for most teams in the regular season?
Yep.
So it's kind of closing in on them a little bit, but it's a good team, tough team. And Sabonis played tough. And I thought that the Jazz could potentially lose that. And I was really proud to see guys step up. Clarkson, who had just gotten back from his injury, and Mike Conley, and the guys step up and get that win against the Pacers, which I think then led to them feeling like, all right, let's take it easy against the Lakers.
Yeah.
Let's get Rudy some, you know, let's make sure his, whatever he's dealing with, let's get that healthy and get him back. And Mike Conley, get him healthy and get him back. And then I think tonight's going to be a different story. I think tonight's going to be a very different story with the way the Jazz show up.
I would agree with that, too. And at least, you know, look, you're not dealing with Anthony Davis. You're not dealing with LeBron James. It's time to go and get that W. You got Rudy back. I know you don't have Donovan, but go out there and win that game tonight.
Yeah, I can promise you tonight won't be the starting lineup of Ilyasova, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. By the way, Ilyasova on the injury list, by the way, he's listed as questionable with a left hamstring tightness.
He came out.
Come on, Ersan, this is your shot, man.
Ersan came out on fire.
I know, right?
Gosh, dang, everything he was putting up, I was like, well, there went again. Oh, there went again. Well, fell again. It was awesome. And then your three bench contributors in that game were Niang, Morgan, and Forrest. That was your bench minutes and production. That was it. I think tonight will be different. The other point I wanted to make, getting a little bit nervous about the Lakers.
Well, you should be.
I'm getting a little bit nervous about the Lakers. Andre Drummond is continuing to do his things, and Andre Drummond has looked really good since arriving on scene. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, healthy and back. Dennis Schroeder, healthy and back. And who was the other guy that they were missing that was – oh, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Kuzma, healthy and back. Oh, Markieff Morris was the other one. On the court, for kind of one of the first times we've got to see him in that lineup. So it's looking better and better for the Lakers' depth. And in my mind, I was thinking, you know, the Jazz will get the win tonight. It's a Jazz win tonight. But I was thinking adding LeBron James and Anthony Davis into this group, it's a pretty deadly combination. If those guys are healthy, it's a very deadly combination.
And that's why, I still think this team, when LeBron and Anthony Davis come back, are your heavy, heavy odds-on favorite to come out of the West.
I didn't believe you, but I do now. Because I don't think LeBron James is as damaged as I thought.
No, there's a lot of load management going on here.
And I want everybody to be healthy. I do. That's who I am, and that's how I am. Yeah. I want Anthony Davis and LeBron James to be healthy. And I think that they've had plenty of rest. They've taken off plenty of games, and they're the type. They're two dudes that will not have dramatic fall off.
Yeah.
So yes, I believe you're right. Wherever the Lakers end up, make sure that as the Jazz, you don't end up where you would end up in the second round with them.
Yeah, you don't want any part of that.
That's why getting guys healthy right now is more important to me than really pressing for the one seed in the West. And then I think that the Jazz kind of made that statement the other night against the Lakers. Didn't you feel it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like, hey, we've got a chance here to extend by another game. You know, Phoenix has Milwaukee tonight, and that's going to be a really tough game for them. And Phoenix is a game and a half behind the Jazz, and the Jazz are still like, all right, well, let's just make sure everybody's healthy. We're back in a back-to-back. Let's take our time, all precautions. That tells me a lot. It tells me that they look at the 1-8 in the West, and they're like, we don't know anything. We don't know anything.
No. Nope.
And the only way a one seed is going to help us is if we actually know who we're going to potentially face in the second round. Now, it does mean home court advantage if it's a 1-2 matchup in the Western Conference Finals. I don't happen to think it's going to be a 1-2 matchup in the Western Conference Finals.
No.
I think it's going to be a Lakers matchup with either the 1 or the 2.
Okay.
That's my belief.
And if you're the 2, you don't want to face the Lakers in the second round.
Exactly.
And you'd rather play the Clippers. And so, you know, because look, Lakers are probably going to play Denver in the first round. And that, to me, screams Lakers in 4 or 5. With the injuries that they're dealing with.
5 max.
Yeah. And then they'll
if the Lakers want.
And then the Lakers will get the 1 seed. We'll take on the 1 seed, which would probably be either Jazz or Phoenix.
So guess where you don't want to be at that point?
No, playing the Lakers. playing the Lakers. The 1 seed, yeah.
I look at that, I'm like, okay, it's just not as important. And I get it. It would be really fun to see the Jazz finish with the best record in the West. I think it would. I actually think, and you could correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Jazz finish in the 2 seed, but finish with the better record of the 1 seed in the East and could still have
home court in the finals.
Home court in the finals.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's well within the
realm of possibility. Don't you think?
Yep.
So I'm not going to sit here and put as much importance as I once thought there was in the Jazz retaining the 1 seed, because at one point we felt like the 2 and 3 seeds were nailed down.
Yeah.
We thought it was the Lakers and the Clippers.
Now, this is and when you hear David Locke talk about not wanting the 1 seed or not wanting to follow the 2 seed, remember, if you do fall to the 2 seed, you could get Dallas in the first round.
Correct.
And that's a problem. I mean, we're kind of projecting the Jazz into the second round, but Dallas would be a massive problem to have in that first round.
Right now, your 2-7 matchup is Phoenix and Dallas. And if you rotate it with the Jazz. And the way I'm looking at it, Scotty, the way I look at it, this, I mean, we're not real far off from what I think the 1 through 8 is going to look like, even though you've got the 10 spot playoff.
Yeah.
And play in. And I think Golden State will probably slip in.
See, that's the thing. I put Golden State at 8.
I do too. And I think I keep Dallas at 7.
Yep. Kick Memphis out. And I think that's what you got.
I think Denver and Los Angeles possibly rotate 4-5. Portland probably sits right around that 6.
Yeah.
So we've got a pretty good indicator with 15 games left of what things are going to look like.
And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Clippers got hot and maybe they compete for that second spot too. So, you know, I think there's a tight grouping between the Jazz, Phoenix, and the Clippers for 1, 2, 3. Then it drops off a little bit from 4 and 5. And then you've got that cluster at 6, 7, 8, 9. So it's going to be interesting for sure. 10:49, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Thor Nystrom. He writes for NBC Sports Edge. Covers the NFL draft. Zach Wilson's climb up the draft board. If he goes number 2 to the Jets, like everyone seems to think he is, how much faith do you have in the Jets going forward?
Yeah, that's a tough question historically to ask anyone. As far as the decision with Wilson, you had to pay a prohibitive cost to do that transition from Sam Darnold to Wilson, right? There's a little bit too much risk in Wilson's profile for me personally to have been willing to pay that price, but I certainly understand where they're coming from. You don't see players with that kind of an arm come into the league every year. It was lasers everywhere. The jump up he took, I would understand wanting to take the future of my franchise on that arm.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Mm-hmm. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Sometimes the channel's just on and we just watch whatever's on during the break. And the NCAA Volleyball Championship's going on.
Which I love.
And by the way, it's fantastic viewing. Like,
it's so good.
I could watch volleyball all day.
I'm telling you, it's an amazing sport. BYU knocked out of the tournament by number one Wisconsin. Wisconsin swept them 3-0, and kind of a bummer. But
wait, Wisconsin's number one?
Yeah. But BYU put on a really good show. Obviously, Utah had lost a little bit earlier in the tournament. But right now, Pittsburgh and Washington on the court for regional final. And it is. I love it. Love college volleyball. I wanted to give a shout-out to the Lady Badgers at Snow College and head coach Jeff Reynolds. They made it all the way to the national championship, the NJCAA national championship game.
Yeah.
All the way to the final game. And they were bested. They took second place in the country, which is still
phenomenal. It just seems like they may need just like one piece over the hump.
One more outside hitter. That's all they need. And I'm so excited. My baby is going to be playing there next year. So really excited to watch her jump onto a team that just made a run to a national championship game.
It's not a bad little drive.
The thing that sucks is, like, now this high ceiling. I told her, I was like, I'd much rather have seen them win, like, two games, and then you come on board.
And then they win. Just tear through everybody, yeah.
So now anything less than second place in the national championship is non-acceptable. Like, you're going to have to do that. But they've signed some amazing talent there, and I expect them to do the same. And Weber State had a fantastic showing as well with their tournament play. So really good women's volleyball here in the state of Utah.
You know, what's interesting is that, Jeff Reynolds, all I know of Jeff is him yelling at us for some media violation at BYU. Yep. Like, Jeff used to be the sports information director for football at BYU. And we would do something, and then he would yell at us.
Jeff wanted to take our credentials multiple times.
And you were a player, and he wouldn't let you speak to the media when you were at BYU because he knew bad things were going to happen.
Yes.
And now, look, he's running a volleyball dynasty down at Snow.
They are. They're one of the top five JUCO products in the country right now. The way they're running that organization, the money that they put into it, I'm shocked by the amount of money that they put into that. The facilities are beautiful. And they take amazing care of the girls, and I don't know how my daughter overcame my bad name with Coach Reynolds, but she did.
Stop.
She did.
By the way, I see people tweeting at your buddy on Twitter, Johnny Linehan.
Yeah.
Because it's April 19th. It's 4/19, like 4th and 19. And I didn't know if that was a thing or not. Like, I see all these Utah fans chiming in at him on, hey, happy 4/19 day.
Is he responding?
I don't think he's responding, but I do think, like, Twitter is a bit of a hellscape a little bit, and there's some really nasty stuff that happens on Twitter, but I do think that's kind of funny.
For those of you that don't know, what was he? Were they on the one?
The 1 yard line.
We're on the one.
4th and 19.
Thought I saw something, Coach.
4th and 19, and he goes for it.
All these guys, happy Johnny Linehan day. 4/19.
Weren't his heels on the back of the end zone?
Yeah. And he ran the fake punt.
And he runs the fake punt. Was that against Boise State?
Yep. Hey, and
oh man,
guess what? And the defense got the stop too.
I think that was the game that. One time in my life, I ran the alumni
that was,
flag.
That was your game, yeah.
And I remember I was standing on the sideline, and I'm like, oh, where's he going? Whoa, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Linehan. Something else, man. Made a decision as a punter to take off out of the end zone. Hey, and guess what? If I'm that special teams coordinator, I'm sticking to that. Like, that was his decision.
You know what? Like, I think, honestly, I think Johnny Linehan was covering from some people.
Yeah, I think he was. I think that there were some indicators on when to leave.
And it wasn't called off.
Yeah.
All right. What you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Well, I want to ask you something. I saw you put out a tweet over the weekend. What was your tweet about Weber State? Were you just kind of surprised that they
Well, I mean,
we're in the top four.
Yeah, we talked to Jay Hill. He thought they were going to be in the top four, and to fall all the way down to an 8 seed in the tournament, to the point where if they win their first game, which they should, I think it's Southern Illinois they've got, then they got to take on the number 1 seed, South Dakota State.
Yep, right.
In the second round.
Yeah.
And all that for your efforts of going undefeated. I know I talked to a couple people close to the program up there. Jay Hill will always take the high road. He'll be classy, and we'll talk to him tomorrow and get his thoughts. But, yeah, Weber State, they got done dirty on that thing.
Did not get a top four seed. And for those of you that didn't know, everything has been slimmed down. It's been abbreviated because of COVID. So the FCS playoffs are completely different this year. Instead of a 32-team field, they've narrowed it way down. And
I think it's 24 usually. There's some buys and stuff in the first round and stuff.
You're right. So they've narrowed it way down, and Weber State does have a very difficult path, but I guess at some point you're going to have to play the number one team anyways, you know. And South Dakota State is right there. I know that it'll be extremely tough. Sam Houston State, James Madison, and Jacksonville State were the others that rounded off the top four. I could understand why the guys are upset about it, but just from an outsider's perspective, this is just my perspective. Weber State had one game that was canceled outside of, you know, their ability to reschedule or to play that game. They only had a chance to play 5 games. And outside of one game, there were 4 games that were decided by like 3 points or less. Every one of them was a dogfight. Every single game was just a dogfight. I do believe that it's a tougher conference, but I wonder if the people that were selecting the seeds looked at it and said, nope, too many nail biters, too close, too few points scored, a freshman quarterback that got injured. I wonder if that's a lot of what went into it. I can't think of anything else that would have landed them outside the 4 seed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just and look, Jay Hill's going to say, look, if you're going to be the best, you got to play the best. And he'll probably make a joke how they don't have to play James Madison until it's a championship game because they're on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah,
and they seem to run into them more often than not. So he'll probably joke about that, and he won't say anything about getting messed over. But I think Eastern Washington, the Big Sky overall, I think took it on the chin a little bit and was overall not respected particularly well. And it happens quite a bit. And I feel bad for that. Appreciate it. But off you go.
Well, it'll be a fun game to watch, and I hope everybody tunes in for it. This first game will be a lot of fun. And I believe that kicks off this Saturday at 2 p.m.
Yep.
Against Southern Illinois.
So go up there, load up that stadium, and go support Weber State. Fired up to see him play in the playoffs.
I'm too, and excited to talk to Jay Hill. We've got Jay tomorrow.
Should.
Hopefully we got Lloyd's nod on his head, yes. So we'll talk to Jay about his upcoming Saturday matchup.
And, by the way, we'll talk about this a little bit more later on. Alex Smith announcing on his Instagram page earlier today that he is retiring and is stepping away from the game of football. I think he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish to come back, to play in the league, and now he's ready to ride off into the sunset.
Good for him. I hope he's fulfilled. I hope he's happy. Because he really did inspire a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. All right. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Tim Lacombe joins us next.